Our scripture reading this morning will be taken once again from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, beginning with verse 11. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 11, I'll be reading from the Revised Standard Version. In Him, according to the purpose of Him who accomplishes all things according to the counsel of His will, we who first hoped in Christ have been destined and appointed to live for the praise of His glory. In Him, you also who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory. Today's lesson will conclude a series of lessons that we've been doing over the past several weeks in discussing the spiritual blessings that Paul talks about in this same context in verse 3 that are found in Christ Jesus. God has chosen us through His gospel. He's adopted us as His sons, redeemed us from the discard pile, enlightened us with the mystery of the gospel. God has commissioned us to live for the praise of His glory. And finally today, He has sealed us with the Holy Spirit. I don't know just how old I was, but an adult, when I finally figured out what the word kosher meant. I thought it was a name brand, Kosher Pickles. Didn't know that kosher was actually something that had passed a specific requirement in order to be qualified to be eaten by the Jewish people. So that when you see something that says kosher, then that means that it's gone through something like USDA approval. Are you kosher? Do you have a seal of approval? Are there any guarantees for us for tomorrow? In the words of a popular song, signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. If you ever look on a package, quite often there'll be all sorts of stamps on the packages that come through the mail. They have passed through certain things. Maybe you can remember being stamped as proof of admission to a ball game. Always like it when those things wash off rather than wear off. If they give me a choice, I say, no, I don't want stamped because I know I'm going to be scrubbing on that hand for a while. Maybe you've even been stamped by some things that are black light lit. The only way you can see it is when you put it under a black light lamp. What's the purpose of that? It's to say that you are approved, right? That this package has passed through the proper channels. During the old days, whenever a king would send a letter, he would put his seal upon it. Actually, it was wax melted onto a letter, sealing it shut, and then while the wax was still hot, it would receive his insignia, his seal. With what result? Purpose being that wherever that letter went, the recipient of it could look at that seal, and as long as it was not broke, what could he know? This belongs to the king. It's been sent to me with his authority. Notary public has a stamp, a seal, embossed so that it raises the lettering. When you see that, it's supposed to recognize that as being legal and be confident of its acceptance or of its approval. Let's go first to the book of John, chapter 6. Jesus, in talking about Himself, says, I have a seal of approval. Beginning with verse 25, John chapter 6. And when they found Him on the other side of the sea, they said to Him, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek Me not because you saw signs, but because you had your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him has God the Father set his seal. What's Jesus saying? Why have these people followed Jesus around? Jesus says, I know why you're here. It's because you're hungry. And I fed you last time we got together. Jesus understood the inner longings of the physical body to be full. But then he uses that to illustrate a spiritual point. He says, but let me tell you, there is a food which is more important. There is that which feeds the soul. And he says, I am he who can give that to you. How do you know that? Because I have received the seal of my Father. Now, it would take months, if not years, for the people to realize that what Jesus was saying is, I am the Son of God. I am not simply a prophet sent by God. I am he that was prophesied to come eons ago and am now here. And in another place in John, he says, I am the bread of life. Now, do you think Jesus had some mysterious marking on his forehead, like Cain, that identified him as having come from God? Do you think Jesus had some sort of stamp on his hand or his arm that he could identify and show to the people, this proves that I'm from God? No. There was none of that. But nonetheless, he said, I have received God's seal. What was it? And what did he mean? And what are those implications for us today? When man obeys God and walks in his way, he is approved by God. In talking about Abraham's faith, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 4. We know that Abraham was a man who did what God asked him to do. Now, he was human. He made mistakes. But when God told Abraham, I want you to leave the country of your kinfolk, what did Abraham do? He packed up. You like to move? I don't like to move. But Abraham packed up. And he left everything that he knew to be a camper for the rest of his life. When God said to Abraham, I want you to trust me that I will send your son, Abraham had his doubts. But nonetheless, he trusted God eventually, and his son came. And when that son was present upon the earth, and God said to Abraham, now, I want you to sacrifice that son to me. Abraham went to the mountains of Moriah to do just that. God stopped him. And when Abraham was told before Isaac was born, when Ishmael was somewhere around 12 or 13 years old, I want you to circumcise every male within your family as a sign that you are mine. What did Abraham do? Let's read. This is Romans chapter 4. Let's begin with verse 9. Is this blessing pronounced only upon the circumcised or also on the uncircumcised? We say that faith was reckoned to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it reckoned to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. He received circumcision as a sign or seal of the righteousness which he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The Roman writer, Paul, is saying to the people, I want you to understand something about Abraham. His faith brought him approval by God. You have based, as a Jewish nation, all of this upon the fact that Abraham was circumcised. But Abraham was reckoned as a man of faith long before circumcision was introduced. What did we recount? His leading Ur of the Chaldees, his roaming in the land of Canaan, his waiting upon God to send a son, his acceptance of that son as his heir, and even willingness to sacrifice him. What is the writer of Romans saying? That Abraham had God's approval because he was a man of faith. Now, his faith led him to be obedient, but God accepted him, approved of him, sealed him. Jesus says, I bear the seal of God. Abraham, by his obedience, bore the righteous seal of God. We find this talked of As Paul talks to his son Timothy in the faith, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now notice, the question that we're trying to answer here is, what does it mean for us to be blessed in Christ with the seal of the Holy Spirit as our guarantee? What does that mean? This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Paul is assuring Timothy that God knows what? Who belongs to Him? The Lord knows those who are His. We were talking with Jessica and Chris the other night about footprints and handprints of children. And you know, it used to be that they would take the foot of a newborn infant, stick it in the ink, and then put it on to the birth certificate. They've gotten away from that because the little ones don't like to wash either. And now they have some sort of mechanism. She said it's kind of like those magic sheets where you used to be able to write all over them, and then you lift the sheet and it all disappears again. Something like that. I still can't quite picture it. But you can take this little sheet now and press your own little footprints and little handprints, and nothing comes off on the baby. And Chris says that he remembers the time when he was little that his folks would send out their first Christmas cards after a newborn and put their footprints on the Christmas card. Have you done that before too? Those were identifications of what? Of the baby that's come. Of course, they're kind of neat as mementos. In this particular case, Timothy is being told by the Apostle Paul through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Lord knows when you come into His family, and He, in some fashion or other, marks you as His. And, remember last week's lesson, commissioned to serve? He commissions you, after He marks you as belonging to Him, He commissions you to remain free from sin, to walk in purity. How does that happen, and when does it take place? Let's go back to our text, to Ephesians chapter 1. We've seen now that Jesus bore the seal. Abraham, by his actions, received the seal. Those who are God's have this seal. What is it? Verse 13, Ephesians chapter 1. In Him you also. Here's some qualifications for those who have the seal. In Him, you also who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. Paul says certain ones have become qualified to be sealed by God. Who are they? Remember that first gospel sermon that Peter preached in Acts chapter 2? When the men were convicted of their sin, of having slain the Son of God, and they cried out, men and brethren, they cried out to Peter, what is it that we should do? What were they crying out for? Salvation, forgiveness, reconciliation, to be in a right relationship with God. They understood that they had done the most horrible of deeds. They had killed God's Son. What was Peter's response? It was simple. Repent. Acknowledge that you've done wrong. Be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Be baptized into the name of the one that you slew as a blasphemer, acknowledging that He was the Son of God. And then did you notice what else they received? Not only forgiveness of sins, but then Peter says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit? Now we know that there were gifts of the Holy Spirit throughout the New Testament church. Paul talks of them often, and especially with the Corinthians, the ability to speak in tongues, to prophesy, to receive revelations, the ability to heal the sick. The apostles walked with gifts that if they picked up a poisonous snake and Jesus said, even this will follow my believers and they're bitten, they'll not be harmed. Those were miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit, but not all men receive those. What Peter is promising, however, is promised to everyone who does what? Repents and is baptized. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I submit to you that that is God's stamp of approval. When I obey God's teachings, like Abraham by faith, I am sealed by God. Can you see it? No, and neither will it wash off. I am given that which is God's to give, His Spirit dwelling in me. Paul talked about it often. He said, you are not your own. Use your bodies wisely, because your bodies are what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. You don't belong to yourself anymore, because God has claimed you as His. Remember what Paul told Timothy? His firm foundation bears this seal. He knows who are His, and they must refrain from iniquity. Some way, somehow, when I'm baptized into Christ by faith, when I obey His commandments, God sends His Spirit within me, and that Spirit is His seal of approval. Go back. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1 again. Look at the qualifications. See if it doesn't fit with what Peter has said. In Him you also, who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Now, Abraham did what because he believed God when God said, leave Ur of the Chaldees? He left. Abraham did what when God said, you wait for the child that shall come through you and Sarah? He waited. Abraham did what when God said to him, I want you to circumcise every male within your family, including yourself? They were circumcised. What Paul is trying to say in Romans chapter 4 is that it is not that Abraham earned his salvation, but God accounted it to him as salvation because his faith motivated him into action. We're told by James that even the devils do what? Believe and tremble. What differentiates between the devil's belief and Abraham's belief? If you go ahead and read the rest of what James says there in James chapter 2. Abraham obeyed. Demons don't. So that when the Bible talks about belief, it's not simply talking about an acceptance of the fact that there is a God, but actually of obeying what God has commanded to be done. Never meriting, never earning, but receiving God's seal of approval when we obey. Paul was so confident of that when he said to the Romans, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Do you see the import of what Paul was saying there? It doesn't matter who you are, what you are, where you are, if you are obedient to the gospel, what has God enabled you to receive? Salvation. So that when Paul is saying to the Ephesians, those who have heard the gospel, those who have believed the gospel, they are the very ones who have received the seal of approval by God, His Holy Spirit, then he is reminding them of that which is already theirs. Now, perhaps he's telling some something new, but basically they already understood. I have received from God, Paul calls it in the Galatian letter, Galatians chapter 4. We talked about this in our second spiritual blessing. I have received the spirit of adoption to become the sons of God. Approved, identified, accepted. In the Greek, the word used here for those who have been sealed by the Holy Spirit is phragizo, and it means to mark, to seal, for the purpose of security. From who? Who would I need to be sealed against? Well, as that letter travels through the kingdom and that seal is placed upon it, what security is taking place there? That's so no one else can claim to have the words of the king. If the seal is broken, then it's been violated, and whatever's in there cannot be trusted, right? So, in fact, that message is hidden. It's secret. It's protected from. Well, who would damage us? Who's after our souls besides the Lord? The seal of approval protects us from Satan. Now, don't get ahead of me here. We'll talk about how that protection is applied and whether or not it can be lost. But the mark, the seal, is for security from Satan. Since things, such as the contents of a letter, are concealed, in order to keep them secret, or to hide them, or to keep in silence until the appropriate time for them to be opened and to be received with authentication. This seal marks a person or a thing as a stamp. Angels are said to be sealed by God. The seal is actually there in order to prove, to confirm, or to attest a thing to its authenticity, to place beyond doubt that this written document or this person is what it professes to be. What a blessing we have in Christ. Where would I be without it? Without His Holy Spirit, I'd be lost, wouldn't I? Now, Paul goes on to say something else there in that next verse. This is back to Ephesians chapter 1. He says, not only those who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of their salvation, and have believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, but they also have that Holy Spirit as a guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. His Spirit, our guarantee. You ever gone into a ball game and gotten that stamp and then had to leave the game for some reason, had to go run an errand? And as you walked out, looked at the person and said, I'll be back. I've done that a few times. I've also been forgotten a few times. If you don't have the seal, you may or may not be back. You may pay again to get in. But you understand that if you have the seal and you say, I'll be back, then all you really have to do is to show that stamp of approval in order to receive the benefits of the rest of the game. Maybe you've seen it as a ticket stub that you carry with you into the movie and you hang on to that. Why do we hang on to those silly little torn ticket stubs? Sometimes because we forget them and then they go through the wash and they get all down in the bottom of your pocket, right? But you hang on to those so you can get in and out, so you can come back. The movie theaters have gotten smarter, though. Now they got the bathrooms and the concession stands usually all in the same area, and you really don't have an opportunity to make an excuse to leave and then to come back and have to use that. What does the God do for us but say to us, not only are you mine now, but you're mine forever? Now, don't get ahead of me again. We're going to get to that other part in a minute. You say, you better hurry up. It's almost time to quit. You're not only mine for now, but you're mine forever. Let's look at a couple of passages as Paul wrote to the Corinthians. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Beginning with verse 20, special emphasis on verse 22, and then we'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So both of these passages from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, trying to build confidence in them about whose they are, to whom do they belong. Verse 20. Talking of Christ, he says, for all the promises of God find their yes in Him. That is why we utter the amen through Him to the glory of God. Now, I've got a whole lesson on that. Why we pray, and at the end of our prayers, we say in Jesus' name. So I'm not going to get into that. Besides, I don't have time, right? Verse 21, but it is God who establishes us with you in Christ. It is God who does this. Establishes what? That we are in Christ. And has commissioned us, what was it? Paul told Timothy, he knows all who are his, and he has told them to refrain from iniquity. Saved, commissioned. That's what Paul's saying again, this time to the Corinthians. It is God who has established us in Christ and has commissioned us and has put His seal upon us and given us His Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. You say, well, why didn't you get to this passage a long time ago? It explains Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 better than you're doing. And it says it, doesn't it? Let's go to chapter 5, verse 5. And talking about how that we will someday be gods and that this body that we're in is but temporary and we'll have an eternal home, he said, He who has prepared us, this is verse 5, chapter 5, for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. One last passage on this point. This is in Ephesians again, chapter 4. And we talked about this a little bit in our class this morning. We're going to pick this up in our class next week. This is Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Marked as God's, sealed until redemption. I thought I was redeemed when I was baptized. I thought it was at the point of my salvation that I became God's. What does he mean that this Spirit identifies me until the time that I am redeemed? Do we have the opportunity to walk away from God? When we take vows of marriage, is there the possibility that those vows will be broken? Could Abraham, once he began to walk with God, at some point in his life said, enough, I'm tired of waiting, I'm going home, I'm returning, just as surely as the children of Israel longed to return to the flesh pots of Egypt, Abraham could have done what? Fallen out of favor with God. He could have started his walk and then lost his salvation. In Hebrews chapter 10, there's a scary passage. I start with verse 26 about willful sin. A passage that says there are three witnesses against one who returns to a life of sin after having come to know the truth. See if you can pick out these three witnesses. For if we sin deliberately, this is verse 26, Hebrews 10. If we sin deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful prospect of judgment and a fury of fire which will consume the adversaries. A man who has violated the law of Moses dies without mercy at the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the man who has spurned the Son of God and profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. And it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. What's the Hebrew writer trying to say to us? That there was a time when I, redeemed, was forgiven of my sins. But along with that came a commission to cease from iniquity. Remember that? The Lord knows who are His, and He commands them to cease from walking in sin. And if I, by my actions, walk willfully back into the ways of the world, there are three witnesses against me. What are they? Number one, the Son of God, whom I have spurned. Number two, the blood of His covenant by which I was sanctified. Number three, the Spirit of His grace I have outraged. When Paul told the Ephesian brethren in chapter 4, verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit by which you are sealed, he says, in effect, you can grieve it. You can, the Hebrew writer says, almost said Paul, the Hebrew writer says, you can outrage the Spirit. You can take that which God has given you by promise, which He guarantees until the day of redemption, and reject it and no longer be redeemed. You may have started your walk with God out of Ur of the Chaldees and got into the land of camping and decided, I don't want to be a camper no more, and reject God's will for you and lose the Holy Spirit. And what happens when you lose the Holy Spirit? You no longer have the guarantee. You no longer have the identification. You no longer are kosher. You're not approved by God anymore. But if we live to the praise of His glory, that's not something we have to worry about, is it? Not that we will be perfect, but if you walk in the light as He is in the light, then the blood of His Son, John says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, continues to cleanse you from all sin. It's not something that I need to walk around and be fearful of in the sense of I wonder if I'm saved or not. I just don't need to willfully walk in sin. But I need to know to whom I belong. And that my seal of approval, the forgiveness that I have had that identifies me as belonging to God, commissions me, what is the last part of this text that we're reading today? To live to the praise of His glory. I am mine no more. I've been bought with blood. Signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. Paul is referring to the spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. We are chosen, adopted, redeemed, enlightened, commissioned, and sealed. What a wonderful Savior we have in Jesus. If you're not yet a child of His, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?